Well, thank you guys so much for having me back. Tiffany, as you can tell, is not with us. Our three-year-old son is actually homesick with the flu, and so he's had it for a couple of days and is recovering well as you can with the flu, but she does send her love, and thank you guys for your prayers for him and also for us. We have not caught it, and I would prefer not to catch it, so if you guys would continue to keep us in your prayers, that would be great. So let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for the opportunity just to come and worship you this morning. Lord, as we get ready to open your word, God, please just speak. Let us hear with open ears and let us respond to your word in a way that will bring glory and honor to you. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your son, Jesus. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For a long time, people have attempted to distort the gospel of Christ. We all heard views that the Bible is partially true. Some say it's not true at all. Hundreds of books and articles have been written on the subject, and the Bible and its teachings are discussed and debated more than anything else in this world. Three of the most discussed topics recently in our world right now is the topic of sin, hell, and life. We regularly hear some say that sin is misinterpreted, and there are sins listed in the Bible that are not really sins. While others say that sin is an archaic concept that should not be applied to today's world, we hear that hell does not exist. Things like, how could a loving God send people to hell? That's not loving. We have heard that God is not the creator of life. And recently, right here in Virginia, we've heard that life starts when a mother says it does. All these topics can be narrowed down to whether you believe in the truth of the gospel or not. If the gospel is true, then God created the heavens and the earth, and the author of all life is Him. There is a heaven, and there is a hell. Sinners will be judged and spend eternity in hell. However, God has made a way for us to spend eternity with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, and those who believe will be saved. If the gospel is not true, then it's just a story with no significant meaning at all. Personally, I believe that the gospel is true. The attempt to distort the gospel, it's not new to us. It happened in the early church and will continue to happen until Christ returns. Which is why Jude dedicated an entire letter to believers warning them of the danger of those who wish to distort the gospel. So if you have your Bibles open, open up to the book of Jude. It's right before Revelation. My wife shared with me that she's not heard a lot of people preach on Jude, and it's not a letter that people mostly preach on, but it is a letter that I think is important for the church to pay close attention to, especially in this time of age that we're living in. Jude at first was writing this letter about the salvation we share. However, he found it necessary to make an appeal to contend or fight for the faith. Jude 1, 3 through 4 says, "Dear friends, although I was eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once and for all." Jude had gotten word that false teachers were among the believers trying to distort the gospel and deny Jesus Christ. Jude 1:4 goes on to say, "For some people who were designated for this judgment long ago have come in by stealth." Now think about that just for a second, how he describes them. He says they came in by stealth. So the believers didn't know who they were. or that they were even among them. Now, this is a really scary point that Jude makes, that they weren't able to even recognize the false teachers among them. So these guys were so close to who they were that they couldn't even tell that they were false teachers, couldn't even tell that what they were trying to teach was counter to the gospel of Christ. So these are really dangerous people right in their midst. And what makes this scary is that in the American church or the church across the world, these people exist today for the sole purpose to distort the gospel. And so Jude says that they were designated for that judgment long ago, and they have come in by stealth, which is why he writes this letter to the church. The purpose of Jude's letter is to expose the false teachers and to encourage followers of Christ to contend or fight for the faith. So Jude starts in Jude 1:4 with exposing the spiritual condition of these false teachers. He says they are ungodly, turning the grace of God into sensuality and denying Jesus Christ, our only master and Lord. So he starts with saying these guys are ungodly. They're false teachers which cannot worship God. They are void of any and all reverence of him. They play religion, but they have no genuine fear for God or love for himself. He goes on to say that they've turned grace into sensuality. So these false teachers cannot restrain their fleshly lust. They secretly indulge in their fleshly desires. Then they excuse their behavior by perverting the biblical concept of grace. And he goes on to say they deny the very existence of Jesus Christ. So they view themselves as their own masters, therefore they refuse to honestly acknowledge the sovereign lordship of Jesus Christ. And Jude goes on to use three biblical examples to reveal the consequence of their spiritual condition. He compares them to what happened to the people in Egypt in Jude 1:5. He says that Jesus saved people out of Egypt and later destroyed those who did not believe. He compared them to the fallen angels in Jude 1:6, where he says the angels who did not keep their own passion but abandoned their proper dwelling, he is kept in eternal chains and deep darkness for the judgment on the great day. And then he compared them to Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 1:7, where he says, likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and surrounding towns committed sexual immorality and perversion and serve as an example of ongoing punishment of the eternal fire. And so Jude starts with exposing the spiritual condition of these false teachers, but makes it very clear what will eventually happen to these false teachers. They will be judged, and they will be punished for trying to distort the gospel of Christ. He goes on to expose the character of these false teachers. In Jude 1:8, he talks about how they reject authority. He says, in the same way, these people relying on their dreams defile their flesh and reject authority and slander the glorious one. They have no respect whatsoever for the authority of Jesus Christ. They're only interested in their authority and what they want. He goes on to describe these false teachers as blasphemers. He says they blaspheme anything they do not understand. Jude 1:9-11. Yet when Michael the archangel was disrupting the devil in an argument about Moses, he did not dare to utter a slanderous condemnation against him. Now just stop for a second. This is an argument between the archangel and the devil. If there's anyone that could be slandered, we would think that it would be the devil himself. But Michael does not utter any condemnation against him. He just rebukes him in the name of the Lord. And then Jude goes on, but these people blaspheme anything they do not understand. And what they do understand by instincts like irrational animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they've gone the way of Cain, have plunged into Balaam's error for profit, and have perished in Korah's rebellion. He goes on to define them as they are without reverence. So they're lacking a deep respect for someone or something. In Jude 1:12, he says, these people are dangerous reefs at your love feast, and they eat with you without reverence. So these false teachers not only are in the church, but they're at their fellowships. They're eating amongst them, fellowshipping with them. And he describes them as reefs. Now, I've been to a couple of ocean places. My wife and I went to one for our honeymoon and got to be out on the reef. When I first read this, I didn't think reefs were really something to really be concerned about. So I had to look a little bit deeper into this. And John MacArthur helped me really understand how dangerous reefs really are. He said that Jude's description of hidden reefs graphically depicts the unseen danger they pose. Reefs are undersea coral formations usually located close to the shore. They're potentially harmful to ships because they can rip open the bottoms of their hulls, causing the vessels to sink. So people in boats can't even see these things, and just right at the right moment, they can rip open the bottom of the vessel. And so what Jude's trying to give us a picture of is these false teachers are among the church, fellowshipping with the church, but they're extremely dangerous because at any moment they could rip open the hull of a boat and cause it to sink. Or in a Christian's view, they could distort the gospel in which we believe and take it in another direction. So they're very dangerous. He goes on to say that they only look after themselves. Jude 1:12, they are shepherds who only look after themselves. They're not concerned with you or me or my family or concerns of the needs of others. They're really just thinking about themselves. He goes on to say they have no purpose. Jude 1:12, they are waterless clouds carried along the winds, trees in late autumns, fruitless, twice dead and uprooted. And so Jude's just giving us another good picture of how worthless these false teachers truly are. They're a cloud that doesn't produce rain. Just being blown wherever the wind leads them. They are trees in late autumn, which if you know anything about farming, autumn is when you're supposed to get your harvest. But these produce nothing. They're fruitless. There is no harvest with them. And in case you didn't get a good picture, they are dead and uprooted. So these false teachers are absolutely have no purpose. He goes on to describe them as they practice shameful deeds in Jude 1:13 when he says, they are wild waves of sea foaming up their shameful deeds. And he completes it with saying, they are condemned. In Jude 1:13, wandering stars from whom the blackness of darkness is reserved forever. So Jude gives a good description of the character of these false teachers. He also goes on to expose that judgment will come to these false teachers. If you're continuing along in Jude, look at 1:14 through 15. He says, it was about these that Enoch and the seventh generation from Adam prophesied. Look, the Lord comes with tens of thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly concerning all the ungodly acts that they have done in an ungodly way, and concerning all the harsh things ungodly sinners have said against him. Now, Jude is pointing directly to what is going to happen to these false teachers. And there is no way to hide how horrible this destruction will be. He says that tens of thousands of his holy ones will execute this judgment. When this battle comes, there will be no chance for these people. They will be slaughtered. But this judgment is not just for false teachers, but it's also for those who have never, ever accepted Christ, for those who don't believe in Christ, for those who are lost. They will also experience this judgment. And the sad thing is that those who are lost will be convicted for every ungodly act that they have ever done and every ungodly word that they've ever spoken. There is no hope for these individuals except for Jesus Christ. Now, the false teachers would say that there are other ways, that there is hope. You can earn your way to salvation, or you can do good enough things, or you can worship something else. But the Bible, the gospel says there is nothing that we can do except believe in Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save us. And so because these false teachers will not ever accept that, Jude exposes that judgment will come to them. And whether or not they believe in a hell today, they will believe in a hell when that day comes. Jude also goes on to expose the attitude of these false teachers. In Jude 1:16, he says, "These people are discontent, they're grumblers, they're living according to their desires. Their mouths utter arrogant words, flattering people for their own desires." So, you know, these are people who are never, ever happy. They grumble and complain about everything. And they're only in it for themselves. They're following their desire. Every desire that comes up, they're going right after that because they want to fulfill that desire. And then Jude closes with exposing the goal of these false teachers in Jude 1:17 through 19. And this is the most dangerous thing for us as believers, because their goal is to divide us and to distort the gospel. Jude 1:17 through 19 says, "But you, dear friends, remember that what was predicted by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, they told you, in the end time, there will be scoffers living according to their own ungodly desires. And these people create divisions and are worldly, not having the Spirit." Their goal is to divide us as Christians. If they can drive a wedge between our belief and the truth of the gospel, then they win. We must stand firm on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must make sure that this gospel is not distorted in any way, shape, or form. This entire gospel is true. Not one part of it is with error. Because if one part of this gospel has error, then the entire thing is with error. And so Jude closes with challenging us as believers to remain focused on two areas. He encourages us to remain focused on the mercy of Jesus Christ. Jude 1:20 through 23 says this, "But you, dear friends, as you build yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Have mercy on those who waver. Save others by snatching them from the fire. Have mercy on others, but with fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." Jude challenges us to focus on the mercy of Jesus Christ. If we stop focusing on what Christ has done for us on the cross, and that sacrifice on the cross and the mercy he has shown us through the cross, then we very well may find ourselves falling to the false teachers and what they are trying to do to us. Jude tells us and encourages us that we must remain focused on the mercy of Jesus Christ. But his second challenge for us is to remain focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. He closes the letter saying, "Now to him who is able to protect you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, power, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen." Jude encourages us to stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. What will protect us from stumbling? Jesus. What will make us stand in the presence of glory? Only Jesus. What allows us to be without blemish? Jesus. And why can we stand before a sinless God with great joy? Only because of Jesus Christ. We must stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we do not fall prey to those who wish to distort this gospel. He gave his life so that you and I can be saved. It is because of him that we can stand in the presence of his glory without blemish and with great joy. There is no other way except through him. None. We are faced in a time and a period when we need this letter more than ever. Our TVs, our radios, our newspapers, we can't even watch a TV show without something being on there that's counter to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't exist anymore. The world is constantly flooding us now with all types of things trying to distort this gospel, trying to tell us that we're the strange ones because we believe this gospel. And we need Jude's letter more than ever. We need his encouragement to hold fast and to fight for the faith and not give in to all the false teaching that is all around us. And so this morning, I want to encourage you with two things. One, if you are here today or you're listening to our service and you have not accepted Christ, or maybe you're here and you're one of those that have fallen to the prey of these false teachers, you question the Bible, you question the gospel, you question if God can truly love you, find hope in the passage of Jude. That he loves you more than anything in this world. But see that there is no other way except the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you to ask him to forgive you and ask him and invite him into your life if you have not. And if you're here today and you've accepted Christ, like Jude, I want to encourage you to be careful of those who try to distort the gospel of Christ and to contend and fight for the faith. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much just for this letter that Jude penned thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. I thank you for his heart encouraging the Christians not to fall to the false teachers, but to remain focused and steadfast on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we need your help. We recognize that we cannot do this apart from you. God, please help us. Help us remain focused on you. Help us remain focused on your gospel. Help us recognize these false teachers and not listen to them and to their message. But help us, Father, listen to your word, to your message, and to know that it is the truth. And God, for those who have not come to a point of where they recognize that the gospel is the only way, please send your Spirit. Please send your people to share the gospel with them. And God, please help them recognize a need for you, for your mercy, and for your grace. We do thank you so much, God, because we recognize that we do not deserve this. But we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.